Greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Good to be here. Talked to Brother David last night, and things are going real well there in Brazil. There's about five families there that are pretty serious. This would be the people who used to be Church of Christ, and it's a blessing. So, and also several other contacts, some in Peru. Not sure what all, but seems to be going well there. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let's pray. Father, help us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, doing with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. The verse here I want to focus on is verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Mostly when we think of this word wrath, we're thinking, some versions put it anger. But what if it could mean a little bit something? I've been thinking about the lack of fathers, the lack of men a lot lately. And what if it means, or could it also mean, that we can provoke our children to the wrath of God, or to God's anger or displeasure, by not providing ourselves, or providing them with fathers, and not providing them with men? That's what I want to talk about this morning. It's pretty popular today, it seems to be, the idea of being a dad. And it's on billboards. Have you been a dad today? Other quotes like, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. And they'll have a picture of a dad on the floor with his children crawling all over him. And that's the idea given of being a good dad. And I want to talk about that some this morning. Look at dads and fathers in reality and in Scripture. There is someone in the early 1900s started the idea of where the Bible says Abba, Father, that Abba meant daddy. And according to what I've studied, that is incorrect. It does not mean daddy as Americans know it. It is a term of endearment, but it's a respectful term. That's why it goes right with Father, Abba, Father. Dear Father is kind of like what it means. The idea of daddy chasing his children all over the country to watch them play is, presently, that's what's considered a good dad today. You see that everywhere. Sure, your families, extended families, at least those of us that grew up anywhere near the way I did, it seems that parents and grandparents are spending a lot of time and money going all over the 4 or 5 state area or further to watch their children or grandchildren play ball. I've never thought that was right. Something is just not right about that. I want to contrast a little bit. I've written down a few things. You know how I like lists. The difference between a dad and a father. And, you know, that's not to say your dad is wrong. I don't mean that. But for the purpose of what I'm trying to bring out, we're going to look at it this way. Dads watch their children play, and children watch their fathers work. Dads are concerned about being buddies to their sons. Fathers are concerned about who their sons are buddies with. Dads spoil their daughters. Fathers preserve their daughters. Dads become their daughters' pawns. Fathers are their daughters' kings. When it comes to discipline, daddy starts counting. When it comes to discipline, what father does counts. Daddies coax their children into being good. Fathers expect their children to be good. Daddies are great supporters of mother's program. Father's program is what's carried out. Dads try to make everybody happy, so he's happy. Fathers lead, whether anyone is happy or not. Dads give toys and candy to gain favor. Fathers give what is good for his children and seeks favor from above. Generally speaking, daddies are neutered servants of mom, but fathers are masculine leaders and guardians of his wife and children. Daddies are yes men and fathers are no ma'am. Eli was a daddy. He said, "Boys, don't do so wickedly," but he didn't restrain them. Abraham was a father. He commanded his children after him. Remember the story when Isaac and Abraham were going up the mountain. He said, "Father, behold the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb?" There's just something that he respected his father. And his father told him that God's going to provide himself a lamb. And that was good for him. He marched the rest of the way up that mountain right with his father. I don't even think he asked him again. He may have wondered how that's going to happen. But he believed his father. He trusted his father. And he loved his father. Before I was a father, I thought I knew how to raise children because I saw a lot of people doing it wrong. but I don't know if I ever saw anyone doing it right before I was a father. When I became a father, actually, when I became a dad, I didn't know anything about being a husband or a daddy. Well, a little bit about being a daddy, because I didn't even have a very good one of those. But I always wanted a man in my life. I always wanted a father. But I didn't even know that. Looking back, though, that's what it was. I wanted someone to look up to, someone to admire, someone to be my role model. My dad did not want to do that because he knew he wasn't a very good one. I remember remarks that he made about other men, how their children just follow them around like puppy dogs. And I thought about that. And that I never forgot what he said about that. And then he also made a remark that he didn't want to name any of his boys after him, using his name. And I know it's because he didn't feel worthy of it. And rightly so. Yet I love my dad. He's in eternity now. His chance is over. Mine is still here. Yours is still here. It's still your opportunity to be a father to your children. I had an uncle that most of you, if you're around me very long, you'll hear me talking about him. He was probably the nearest thing to a father to me. He was the biggest, the strongest, the smartest. He was a father figure. There's not much he couldn't do. He was my mother's twin brother, and she never spoke but highly of him, always in a good note. Just the way it should be in a home. On the other hand, my dad couldn't do anything right. And so, therefore, I didn't have a father. I had a dad, not a father. So, I entered into being a dad with little or no knowledge of it. I knew I wanted them to serve the Lord, and I did what I knew to do. I've unlearned a lot, my wife and I, and we're still learning what we need to be doing. Last evening we talked with a young man in Springfield. He came and stood in front of us for a while, smoking a cigarette. He was probably about 24 or 6 years old, somewhere in there. Maybe a little younger. And he just stood there and looked at us for a while, at a little distance away. And he talked to us and told us a little bit of his church background, Church of Christ. And he's asked about our signs and asked about things. He's pretty interested, seemed like, and he knew the scriptures. And I had explained to him the differences in sins. There are sins that are lesser sins, although they're all sins. There are sins of mistakes, and then there's sins of deliberate action. I said, there's sins of disobeying a small law, like walking across the street jaywalking. And then there's the sin of homosexuality, which is an abomination because it's against nature. And then he opened up and he told us a little bit of his story. He told how that he had homosexual leanings. And he got into drugs to try to drown that. He did all kinds of things to try to keep that from being that way. And he got deeper and deeper into sin. And finally he decided to just admit who he was, what he was. And so he's found a level of peace there, but yet he still knows that he's not right with God because of it. And he doesn't know what to do. He was just honest. Pretty decent looking young man. Didn't look really feminine or anything. And he was he just didn't know what to do. And I prayed to the Lord, I said, Lord, help me to know how to help this man. Because I had never talked to one like that before that was really wanting an answer. And the thought came to me, ask him about his father. So I said, how about your father and mother? Are they together? And he said, no. My dad's never been around. Then my mom got with another guy, hated everybody. He was against black people and Mexican people and everybody. He was just hated everybody. Terrible man as far as any kind of a father figure. And I said, I want you to think about something. Your attraction that you have to men may just mean that you wanted a father in your life. You were hungry for a leader in your life. Think about that. He said, you know, I have thought about that. He seemed glad to talk to us and shook our hands. And I told him to stop and talk to us again. I gave him a card. Their website on it. I told him, we can choose what we do. And he admitted to that. He agreed to that. I walked away from him and I thought, you know, that's the reason, one of the biggest reasons there are homosexuals in the world today is because fathers dropped the ball. Men aren't being men. Leaders are not leading. There are no leaders. Is there not a wise man, Paul said, to the church at Corinth? To judge the smallest matters. We're in a time in history that it's no wonder there's so many queers running the streets. Who are they going to go back to? Who are they going to ask anything from? Who are they going to look up to? It's no wonder that so many women are running the show. Their daddy made jokes out of, let me ask the boss. Or, yep, she wears the pants. And on and on. In Judges 7, Gideon was about to go out against the Midianites. He had 32,000 men. 32,000 men. The Lord thought that was too many. So He said, all the fearful need to leave. So all the dads went home. The men stayed. left them with 10,000. What would this country be if there were just 10,000 men that were men? Just 10,000. I wonder if there are any, even that many, that would really be, fall into that category of men, bold men of God, willing to do whatever it took to stand for God. And then 9,700 of those men were disappointed because they couldn't go. They weren't afraid. So they had to stand on the sidelines and watch because they didn't drink at the river like the others. Was God pleased with those 9,700? I think He probably was. But He just wanted to get the number down so that it would be to His glory and not man's. But what do you think about the sons and the daughters of the 22,000? When Daddy came home, "What's going on, Dad? What happened?" "Well, I don't want to talk about it." "What? It's a bad deal." What do you think the mother felt like? That's the way it is. Being a man. Being a leader. Give your children someone to look up to. What are you going to gain by being a daddy? Well, you're probably going to get to pay your children's way for a long time after they leave your home. You're going to get to bail them out over and over, financially, if not any other ways. And then they're probably going to disregard you and your advice when you're old, and then you'll die in a nursing home. But if you're a father, you're going to get strange looks in the marketplace or in the workplace when the man that you're working for says to your son, "You come along, so keep Dad busy," and you don't smile. "You come along, keep Dad in line," and Dad doesn't smile. And the boy looks up at him like strange. "No, I didn't." And then the man thinks, "Well, they're weird." You're going to get misunderstood in the world because you're pretty odd. You know, there's just not very many of you. Because you're a father. It's a serious matter to you to guide your home. It's a serious matter to you that things are in order. But if you vacillate between these two, you're headed for destruction. There's only one way to gain anything good out of your home, and that's if, for you as men, is being a father under God the Father. I wish I could understand my father. "I wish I could understand my father" is a quote from Michael Jackson. I knew exactly when I read that, I knew it fit. It fit perfectly. young men and boys and young women and girls are longing for leadership. Your wives, they thrive when you step up. And if you don't, who will? They will. Then you'll be a part of what we're seeing around us today. Isaiah 3:12 says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Look at the political scene. Are there any leaders? I mean, I'm not speaking against authority. Look at it. Who has any answers? A leader is not allowed in this world. We have need of fathers. My father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. That's just a neat little quote. I mean, it's a wonderful quote, but it's Elisha called Elijah, "My father, my father." I mean, he respected him. He wasn't his buddy. He was my father, he said. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, when the chariot came to pick him up. That's what came out of his heart, because he had a leader. And he was leaving. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's important for us as fathers to stay cool, calm, and constant. Not unsteady, not vacillate, not wavering. Not in a stubborn way. I mean, if we're wrong, change. But your family is looking to you as a rock, a small rock, like a bigger one in heaven. One man said of his father, "He didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it." I thought that was a blessing. Not that it's wrong to tell our children how to live, but they're going to get way more out of watching you do it than hearing you tell it. Another man said that a father is a provider and different things he named off. And the last thing he said was he's a distant authority figure who never can be pleased. Otherwise, how will they know who God is? I thought he hit the nail on the head. Because that's the way people view God. As a distant authority figure who never can be pleased. Therefore, they need this sacrificial atonement. They need someone to step up in their place. Nobody's going to step up in your place, Dad. For for you to become a father, it's up to you. Jesus is not going to come down here and guide you through every step by the hand and tell you how to be a father. You're going to have to figure it out, and you're going to have to do it. I am too. And I'm trying to do that. You that aren't fathers, help us. Women, woman, that's your purpose here, is to help your man be what he ought to be. Whether it's your husband or your father, whoever man you're under, help him. That's your purpose. That's the reason you were created. Don't forget it. But whether she helps you or not, men, the buck stops with you. I think a lot about the spies that were sent over to spy out the land, the 12 that Moses sent. But just during studying for this, I thought about their children. Again, like the children of the 22,000 daddies that went home. Do you think that the 16 or 18-year-old daughters of the 10 spies wanted to show their face in camp after that? Do you think they got anywhere near Moses or Miriam or any of those? Any of the leaders? Or they were probably tucked well away in their tents after they got done complaining that they'd been taken out here to be killed. I don't know if they were out there or not, but some of the families. But if they had any fear of God, any discretion, any desire for real truth and a leader, how much they have felt. On the other hand, Joshua and Caleb's sons, what do you think they were doing? They were right there. They were right there. You're right, Dad. I think they were beaming. I think they were joyful. I think they couldn't have been prouder than they were right then of their fathers. And probably wanted to be just like them. Jesus told us that we need to be like our Father in heaven, good to all. God is good. I saw on a church sign in Crane this week that God is good all the time. And I believe that church has a woman pastor. Am I right about that? Presbyterian Church. Church sign says, God is good all the time. Well, that woman's right. But what's wrong with that is that His goodness, He's good because He hates evil. He doesn't approve of things that are out of order. See, we have this concept sometimes that being good is like being a daddy. He'll overlook my fault. He'll forgive me. A famous Mennonite preacher named George R. Brunk had a daughter that at 77 years of age, she was ordained to the ministry in the Mennonite church. Her brother withdrew his membership from that conference because of that. Bless his heart. And she told him, she said, Daddy would understand. Well, everything I ever read of her daddy was that he wouldn't have understood. He probably would have spanked her. That's where things are at today. It's been said that the best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. I'm going to rephrase that a little. The best thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother enough not to let her wear the pants. There's no harm in women buying pants as long as their men don't let them wear them. Because it stops with you, man. You're the man. You have an awesome responsibility as a man. And you that aren't fathers, and yet know how we ought to do things, help us do them. I don't know that any of us are too proud to receive help. Or some light on the subject, for sure. And I'm sure not speaking as someone who's arrived. I'm with you in this. But I think there's a great need of men being men today. Fathers being fathers. Husbands being that which binds the house and keeps it on the foundation of Christ. You can succeed very easily today as being a daddy. There's helps everywhere. The world is there to help you be a daddy. And you could probably be a good one. But help is scarce and examples are frighteningly few in the world to being a father. I thought when I went to the Mennonite church that would change. I could find some good examples of being what a father ought to be. And granted, it was better than where I was at. But looking over all of that from the time I was knew anything about the time I grew up and through the evangelical churches and through the Mennonite churches, there wasn't just a whole lot of difference. I mean, there were some differences in applications, but a lot of it was very much the same. I didn't know what a woman's place was still. Whenever I'd make a decision in public and my wife disagreed with it, she'd grab both sides of her covering strings and pull her covering bonnet down on her head a little harder and kind of chuckle. That's what it meant to be submissive. And everybody kind of knew what that meant. And they agreed. It was very well accepted. And then it was discussed in length and privacy. We didn't know what to do. As a matter of fact, as far as husbands and wives go, a lot of the leaders in evangelical churches are more of leaders than there. But it looks a lot better. So we're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to understand the principles of what it means to be a husband and to be a father, to be a man of God. If your wife is out of her place, she's wrong. But so are you. if you're just going along with it, if you're allowing it, you're wrong. We need to look to our Heavenly Father. Follow His example. Christ loves the church. He loves His Father. Young men, you need to be men right now. Learn to be a man. Then being fathers will be easier. And a leader must first be a follower. And I don't know any leaders that are doing anything close to what's right without still following somebody. And fathers, if you want your sons to be leaders, give them one. Because if you don't, where are they going to get that example? How will it ever happen? It'll be one in a however many million of a chance that your son will be a leader if you're not leading him. This is an emergency. No small matter. Look at all the children in this room. Look at all the children in this room. Do you know what this is going to look like in 5 years? My 13-year-old son will be 18. My 16-year-old will be 21. What about in 10 years? Time to act. It's time to keep acting if you are. It's time to do. It's time to be men. It's the only way we're going to save our little part of the world at all. What's under our care from being the perverted, wretched world that's around us. And even with all of that, some of these children are going to be lost, probably. I hope that on no one. And I pray for the salvation of those that have went out from us, my own included. But I definitely believe that if you're not man enough to be willing to lose your children, you're not the leader of your children that you ought to be. You've got to be a man enough to let them go. If you're not, you're a daddy and you can keep them and lose yourself. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for being good to us. We love you. We want to be like you. Help us to make that happen in our lives on a daily basis. Help us to be strong. To deny ourselves and take up our cross. And be that which you've called us to be. To take up what's before us with willing hands and purpose of heart. And be a father. and be a man. One that you'd be glad to send into battle if need be. In Jesus, amen. Open it up. If anyone has any comments or corrections, feel free.
Just want to say amen to the message. I just think about this almost every time we talk about a subject like this, about the relationship between Christ and the church and families today. Whether the family situation today, all the daddies, the way it is a, whether the view of God is a result of fathers turning to daddies, or whether it's the other way around, I don't know. I always have to think of that. Just the way it is. I mean, women rule the home. The church rules God, so they think. Instead of being firm providers of direction, and as Abby said in this morning to the boys, God has the last word. The truth will stand. That's the Father. Father heart. That's God. That's the Father. Clear direction. This is the way it is. This is what we're saying.
Amen.
I'm thankful for the challenge too this morning. How great and serious responsibility is to be a father, a true father. It's not what Jesus was talking about, just a side note. Not what Jesus was talking about when he said, call no man your father.
Amen.
Great, the Lord.
Yes, just a another little thought on that. He didn't mean don't say father like what we're talking about, because right after that and all through the Gospels and through the letters, they all say your fathers, and he said you say to your father it's a gift, so whatever, you might be profited by me. So I mean, he wasn't saying don't call them father. He was saying, he was talking in there a discourse about elevating men to positions above where they need to be. And I'm not sure all of what he meant, but he also said rabbi and master and father and things of places of hierarchy that belong to God. And so I don't understand all that, but if that's what he meant, none of the apostles got that. Because I've written unto you fathers, because you know the truth, John said. And Paul even said, you have many instructors, but one father. Told Timothy that, I believe, wasn't it? I believe he told Timothy that. Yeah. I mean, so, it's, and then we read in Ephesians, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But anyway, anyone else?
Springfield, talked to a gentleman. He said, well, I'm a child of God. If I'm a child, it doesn't really matter what I do, I'll still be accepted. And I said, if he's a father unto you, he'll chastise you if you're wrong, if he's a good father.
Amen.
Just some thoughts on being a father. I, like Kevin, was raised in the worldly evangelical American public school system, and I didn't have a father either. I didn't even have a daddy, but when he was around, he was a daddy. But just, he is what he is because of what Kevin said. His mom wore the pants. His daddy was castrated, basically. He was a drunkard. He was a loser. He wouldn't guide the family. You know, and for those of us who want to be fathers, it is an extreme battle in your mind. I mean, and for some of you who came out of plain backgrounds, who had daddies, but on the exterior were manly men and leaders, but then when they went home, the mom is just ruled the roost, as it were. For those of you, you know, there's probably some battle there too, but to decide that you're going to be a father and lead the home and lead the mom is extremely hard, and you have to tell yourself, okay, even though I know my wife is not agreeing with this is what we're going to do. Even though your flesh is saying, maybe I could listen to her, maybe I'll just find out what is bothering her or eating her up, maybe I'm, you know, you just gotta just basically drive through it and just get to the other side of the ordeal and lead. And it's not so much that you make the right or wrong decision, but it's that you lead through the circumstances right. that you're getting through. Because there really is a gazillion ways to get through any varying circumstance, and not one of them is just the only right way. I mean, but what is right is that you be the father and determine that you're going to do this, and you're going to feel, boy, I am a jerk. And if you go out to Walmart or whatever and you have all your children with you, and you're like, get in a line, hold hands, follow me, you know, people will just look at you, or you know, or you take the sons to work and they're just kind of dogging around, and you say, get up and you run right now. And boy, the customer's all getting a little squirmy, and you know, if they need to take a rest, you know, they can. No, they're all right. They need to just get out there and work. I'm training them to be a man. You know. Oh boy. But then that pressure, I mean, you feel the pressure.
I know.
You know. And you just have to fight against it and just realize you're not being a jerk. And even sometimes, there's been times that the children have been naughty, or not just naughty, but not doing dad's will. And they've gotten in trouble. And, you know, sometimes I've had to take them and say, look, children, you have got to think, what's daddy's will? You just don't go willy-nilly running through the day just playing, just throwing rocks, whatever. You need to think to yourself before you do any action. Is this my father's will? Is this what would please him? And if not, don't do it. Because you've got to be thinking, what does my father want to do? And boy, as a man, to actually say those words to your children in this culture, boy, I went away thinking, oh boy, am I all wrong? No, I'm not. But you feel that way. And you just, my encouragement to you fathers, young fathers and men who aren't fathers, just man up and know that it's going to be a battle. I mean, inside of yourself. There's going to be a battle, and you just have to decide you're going to take it on, and you're going to win it. Like Caleb and Joshua, they're like my greatest example. Caleb was like, "We'll take this mountain." Everyone else, no. You could just see their voice being like, "That's my dad." And then everyone else died except for Caleb and his family, and they got that mountain. They did. You know, that is an encouragement.
Anyone else? Anyone? Okay.
Yeah, I concur completely with that message. I sought my life looking for a father. And when I was a teenager, I used to listen to a song that said, I always wanted a father, but instead I just had a dad. It just, and so many bands and things like that, all these different groups that I listen to, it's just that thread is just over and over and over in there. And then when I came to the Lord, I thought, yes, finally, I want to find a man of wisdom I can sit under and listen to. And just came up empty over and over again. Even when I came to the Mennonites, it was like, finally, somebody. And then I just kind of sat back and said, where's Camellia? Where is he? Right. That I can sit under his feet and just listen and learn. But I wonder if some of that isn't a blessing. I didn't pick up as many habits, and then some of it's a curse, you know, where you don't learn things. Now you're just kind of in the middle of the field all by yourself, just kind of wondering what to do next. But you just make a decision and follow it. Just keep going.
We're kind of like in a time when Israel had fallen away for hundreds of years or whatever, and they were returning. They didn't know what to do either. They didn't even know what the law said anymore. They didn't know. It's hard to imagine the Israelites not knowing what the law of Moses said, but they didn't. There were times that they just didn't know. Most of them. And then they found it and they read it. Astonished. And that's kind of like where we are. Returning.
I was in Mexico City and I was getting off the metro, the subway in Mexico City, and I was going to work. And when I got off, there was about a 13 or 14 year old boy, and he was sitting in the center of the stairwell, and he had a makeup purse out, and he was putting makeup on. And you could tell he was kind of, I mean, he couldn't do it at home, you know, so he was doing it before he went, I guess he probably wasn't going to school, but, you know, and all I could think about as I was going to work is, you know, I wonder what his daddy would think if he'd seen his son putting on makeup, you know, like, when he left, if there's even a father in the home, you know, but, and it's the same thing when you go preaching. I mean, you see all these kids, 16, 17, and they're covered with, you know, earrings all over their face, and they have green hair, and the girls are dressed, you know, real, real immodest, and all you can think about is, where is the parents? Why are they out here at Art Walk at 10:30 at night, you know, on drugs? I mean, and the parents have no idea that their children are doing these things. If they do, they can't stop them. And it's just, I mean, like you said, that's where we're at. It's hard to believe that somebody in Missouri in the Bible Belt wouldn't know what the Bible says. But if you really start talking to these people, they don't really have any idea. I mean, we were out Friday night, and the lady was telling me, well, what did Jesus say to the woman caught in adultery? She was at the well, and she was caught in adultery. And you're like, no, you're mixing up stories. No, I'm not. You're like, no, you're really mixing up stories, man. Sorry. But, you know, they don't know what the Bible says. But I was thinking when you was preaching, if you get around the gangbangers, the real gangsters that are, you know, 35, 40 years old, that have been doing this their whole life, not the young guys, but you get around the guys that, you know, have been to prison for years for killing people and for really being in gangs, and you really start talking to these people, the first thing they tell you is, yeah, I didn't have a dad in the house, and, you know, I was looking for that fatherly influence, and I started going out, hanging with the gangs, and that's where I learned, you know. And that's what they're looking for in life, is a father. But, you know, the young guys won't admit that because they're still trying to get that reputation. They're still, they haven't really done the soul searching yet. But it's just, you know, if you see children without a father and the father comes to visit the children are just climbing all over the father. I remember we were in Mexico and our neighbors, the father left for a while and, you know, he would come to visit, and if you would see
the children with the father, they were just all over the father, and the father's like, why are the children just like climbing all over me? And it's like, because you're not there. They want a father. They need a father. This is a dark place to live in. I mean, it's just amazing where this country's at. I mean, and you don't see it unless you go out. I mean, the people in Monette just don't see what happens in the city. You know, they don't have any idea. Anyway, I don't know if any of that makes sense or not.
Yeah. Well, I've really appreciated the leadership that Brother David has given me in my life. And he's a man of God. He is a man, but he's a man of God. And I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't met him. I don't know. But when I did, my heart was knit with him. He was what the Lord gave me at that time and has been since. A real help to me to know the Lord the right way. To know Him in any sense of as a father ought to be known. And it's been a blessing. Because I didn't have that anywhere else. Or very little. Anyone else? All right. Who has the meal tonight?
Where do you... We were thinking of Aurora, but there's a 65% chance of storm.
Oh, really? What do you think, here maybe? Okay. 6 o'clock here. Okay. So maybe we can have somebody prepare the basement a little bit and get things in order. I don't think Brianna's here, is she? And, just check about it, maybe some of your sisters. All right. Anything else? Lord bless you.
God,
you. strength.